Scott Garvey arrived in Vermont in late June. He moved from Memphis to be closer to family and to find better mental health treatment. But just a week after moving to Putney, Scott was shot and killed by Vermont State Police while in the midst of a mental health crisis. He was 55. As Vermont Public's Liam Elder Connors reports, Scott's family is still struggling to understand what happened.
Sitting at a picnic table in Montpelier a few weeks after Scott Garvey died, his family recalled his love for music. His younger sister Kara says he started playing drums when he was about 12 and practiced for hours every day.
When Scott played, it was magical.
According to his family, Scott was a prolific writer. He sent countless postcards to friends and family and wrote poems like this one he read aloud online in 2022.
Did you ever really hear a songbird sing a morning song? Did you ever really hear a songbird sing a morning song? I can hear her sing all day long.
But starting in his 20s, Scott's family says he struggled with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. He was in and out of psychiatric facilities over the years. For the past 3 decades, he lived with his mother. But she was getting older. Then, earlier this year, his family says Scott was beaten in a Memphis mental health facility and hospitalized for 5 weeks. His siblings decided Scott and their 84-year-old mom should move to Vermont. Kara says she found an apartment in Putney, about 5 minutes from her house.
I was like, Scott, we're going to start a new life. I have so many plans. We're going to the Red Sox. We're going to go listen to music together. We're going to walk.
Kara also worked to get Scott mental health care through a local service provider. But their older brother, Sean Garvey, says the transition to Vermont was tough.
He was paranoid. He thought that the people who had beaten him previously were after him.
On July 6th, just about a week after arriving in Vermont, Scott's behavior was escalating. He set off the fire extinguisher in the apartment. The fire department came and tried to get Scott to go to the hospital. He declined. A mental health screener that evening determined he wasn't a danger to himself or others. The next morning, on July 7th, Kara says she went to get her mom out of the house. Kara also called the local mental health crisis line, and she says Scott called too.
He was screaming for help, you know, metaphorically screaming, but he was just reaching out for help.
Vermont State Police came to Scott's apartment later that morning after one of his neighbors called. According to a police affidavit, the neighbor said Scott was hitting her window with a metal pole and saying the voices were telling him to kill everyone. Troopers and a mental health worker spoke to Scott through his front door. Scott told them he wanted police to kill him. A few hours later, Kara came down to give the troopers a house key.
I said, he is deathly afraid of you. He's terrified of the police.
Kara asked the troopers if she could go talk to her brother. She says they said no and told her they thought Scott was close to coming out.
And so I left, thinking everything was all set.
Kara says she talked to Scott by phone once more around 3:45 that afternoon. He told Kara that a woman at the scene was going to talk to him without cops and bring him coffee and cigarettes.
Well, time I talked to him on Monday, he said, I think it's going to be okay.
45 minutes later, troopers went into Scott's apartment. Trooper Peter Romeo shined his light on Scott and saw what appeared to be a rifle. Police say Scott didn't respond to commands and that Romeo shot Scott. Scott's family says they told police that Scott didn't have any weapons or firearms. According to court records, police found a metal pipe in the house, but no guns.
The whole thing was an epic failure. Epic failure. You do not kill somebody that was reaching out for help.
Vermont State Police declined to comment. The Attorney General's office and a county prosecutor are reviewing the shooting to determine if it was justified. Scott's older brother, Sean, says he doesn't expect the investigation to lead to any accountability.
I don't have a lot of confidence.
Sean says he's struggled with guilt since Scott died. Sean helped bring his brother to Vermont and then asked Scott to give him some space for a while, a request Scott followed, even on the day of his death.
And I feel so awful about that. Because you replay all of this, like what could have happened that would change the outcome?
what if he had called me? Would I had some magic turn of words that he would have felt comforted by?
The Garveys say they plan to advocate for changes to how people with mental illness are treated. One idea, Kara says, could be to listen to people like her brother and ask them what they need. Kara read me a recent text message from Scott, his vision for a new mental health facility in Memphis.
2 basketball courts, a store for candies, gum, drinks, cigarettes, a huge movie screen with different movies every night.
The first thing Scott wrote was to treat them like humans. For Vermont Public, I'm Liam Elder Connors.